first off, want to express just the tragedy in Kerrville, and the hearts go out to the community of Kerrville and what they've experienced. Thoughts and prayers with the families of the victims, and just such a tragedy, and just want to let them know that they're first and foremost, at least in my mind, and really such a sad thing, and hopefully they can heal, and just really no words to express other than so sorry for that, and wish them well. As far as the University of Utah, coming off a season that was disappointing to say the least, it's not who we have been traditionally, not who we are, but that's the way the season went, so there's no excuses. We just have to be better. I'm excited for this season. We have some things going for us this year. We think we have a tremendous offensive line. It's a great starting point offensively anytime you're good up front, and we feel like we have really good players up there, a couple projected first-round draft choices at the tackle position, three seniors inside that have all played good football for us, and really good players. All three could get drafted as well, so we expect to be very good up front, which will make life much better for our quarterback, Devin Dampier, transfer from New Mexico. He came with Jason Beck, the offensive coordinator at New Mexico, so he's been able to be in the system that he was in last year. He was like a coach on the field for us in spring ball, a tremendous leader. He was voted to the leadership council after having only been on campus for 2 weeks. That's how much his teammates thought of him after being around him for 2 weeks. So he's a dynamic player, true dual threat, rushed for over 1,000 yards, threw for over 2,500 yards. I've been told there's only four quarterbacks in NCAA history that have been able to achieve that. So excited to watch him play this fall. And if spring ball is any indication, you guys are in for a treat to watch him play this fall. Defensively, just in general, we've been good on defense literally for decades. We expect more of the same this year. Proud of the way the defense competed last year. They were put in some bad situations, didn't have a whole lot of help last year, but continued to battle and put up some really good numbers on the defensive side of the ball. So anyway, we're excited to get the season going. It'll be here before you know it. Players report 29th of July. We open up on August 30th in the Rose Bowl against UCLA, and away we go. So questions?
All right, go to center right, 7-4.
Tyler Budge, CF Budge. Coach, you already talked about some of the new offensive additions a little bit. What drew you to Jason Beck as a play caller and a coordinator, and also what added benefit will be there from guys like Dampier that fall on from New Mexico?
Well, great question. Myself, our defensive coordinator, Morgan Scally, who is our coach in waiting, did a national search when we had the coordinator position available. Just watching all the tape of the various offenses, the production, the creativity, the innovation, how they use their players. When all was said and done, myself and Coach Scally were on the exact same page that Jason Beck was a great fit for what we're doing and what direction we wanted to go. When we got Jason on board, Devin Dampier, his quarterback in the Mex last year, was eager to stay with Jason and stay in the same offense. So Devin transferred in. Having him know the offense and not have any learning curve at all, because he's been through, Jason has complete autonomy to do what he wants offensively. We're going to be almost a carbon copy of what New Mexico was in philosophy. He does a great job, Jason does, of utilizing personnel, getting guys in position to be successful. And so you'll see some different twists than what you saw last year, but that's just because he's making the most of the players that he has available. Devin and the offense at New Mexico finished fourth in the nation last year in total offense. Not to be disparaging, but he was pretty much a one-man show and did most of it on his own. And so I'm sure he's excited to be able to operate behind our offensive line.
Center left, front row.
Steve Bartle, KSL Sports. Coach, after the changes you've made this offseason, how do you feel those changes with your staff, with the players, have meshed with the culture and the identity of the program that you've built over the last two decades?
I think it's been very a good addition to the coaching staff with Jason and Mark Atuaya and Mike and Simon. Those are the three new offensive coaches. Coy Detmer is also with us as an analyst on offense. It's been a seamless transition. Spring ball was very productive. Our defensive coaches, I know, are very impressed with what Jason has brought to the table and the difficulty to defend, you know, the formations and the way he utilizes personnel. So far, it's been a good situation. You know, the rubber will hit the road when we start playing in the fall, but I'm excited to see how it goes.
Center right, front row.
Hey, Coach. Nick Hamilton, Nightcast Media. You spoke earlier about Devin Dampier, about his leadership and how he's been able to ingratiate himself into the culture and as well as with the team. How do you see him having, as far as this season, being able to do that on and off the field to be able to be an extension of you and your staff while keeping the chains moving?
Well, he's off to a great start. As I mentioned, he's got the respect of his peers, having been voted on the leadership council. His leadership, I talk about his physical ability. He's got that it factor that you look for in quarterbacks. He's got the field general mentality that you look for. He's a guy that everybody gravitates towards. There's no doubt who's in charge on offense. We don't huddle, and so it's not like he commands the huddle. But everybody looks to Devin as the leader of the offense, and that's pretty impressive. Like I said, the short time that he's been on campus, but he's a guy that is a proven commodity. There's things he needs to work on. We got to get the completion percentage up a little bit higher. We've got to get the touchdown to interception ratio a little bit better. But he was just a sophomore last year, and he definitely made improvement in those areas through spring ball.
We'll go center left, fifth row.
Kyle, what went into the decision to move Otto Tia from wide receiver to tight end, and who are the other names you just kind of expect to emerge as your top pass catchers this season?
Well, Otto Tia, first of all, he's a big kid. He's 225 pounds, and he fights to stay at 225. He's probably bigger than that now, but he's 6'4 plus. And just for what Jason Beck envisions for him, it's a better fit as a tight end. Now, he's not a true inline tight end. He'll be more of an H-back guy where he can move around, flex out, and create some mismatches, hopefully, on offense. But he's a guy that has got a lot of ability, and we just felt in this scheme and what Jason saw through the first couple weeks of spring ball, it was a benefit to him and us to move him into the tight end spot. As far as the wide receiver position, that's probably the biggest question mark on the football team right now as far as the hierarchy, who's going to be wide receiver 1, 2, and 3, etc. We didn't come out of spring with any true pecking order. We've got a lot of good players there. I think we have four or five transfers at the position, and so that will continue to be a battle and a competition going through fall camp. And probably the most important thing that we can do in fall camp is to sort those wide receivers out and determine who are going to be the go-to guys.
We'll go center left, second row.
Sammy Mora, UteZone.com, 24/7 Sports. Kyle, there's been a lot of talk about the offense, obviously, rightfully so, with the transition to Jason Beck. But the Utah defense, it brings back quite a few key contributors from last season. What are you looking for specifically from, you know, Lander Barton, Smith Stone, and Teo Johnson as they head into this season?
Well, I would say more of the same. Like I said earlier, the defense has been very consistent, very something that you can count on from year to year. Can't remember the last time we've had a real down year defensively. And so the defense just needs to do what they've been doing for a lot of years. One thing we can do a better job of is taking the football away. If there's a knock on last year's defense, is we did not create enough takeaways, and that's something that will help out the offense tremendously, and we could have used that, obviously, to help out our offense last year. But as far as defending the run, defending the pass, red zone production, total yards a game, I mean, all those things are in line, but we've got to get back to taking the ball away, which historically and traditionally we've done a very good job. Last year was probably the least efficient year in a long time as far as taking the ball away.
We'll go center right, third row.
Hi, Sam Foster, Daily Universe. Yesterday, a lot of questions were asked to Keanu Tanivasa just about his decision to transfer and the rivalry as a whole. Can you just brush up on your team's reaction to him deciding to transfer, and what's it like to be in this rivalry with so many ties between both universities?
As far as that goes, you just move on. Old experienced coach once told me, you win with the players you got, you don't worry about the players you don't have, so I really have nothing to add to that. The rivalry, it's good to see, not good to see, but it adds a different dimension to it and more of a more meaning to it when you're both in the same league, which we haven't been for years and years, but now we are. And so that not only is a rivalry game, but a game that could and should be instrumental in who ends up winning the Big 12. So in that respect, it's ratcheted up quite a few notches from and back to where it was, the feel of where it was when we were in the Mountain West Conference together.
We'll go center right, second row.
Coach Lynn here, just stay alive, Power 5. How you doing today?
Good, thank you.
That's good to hear. So can you talk about your defensive coordinator, Morgan Scaly, and what he means to your program, considering, I mean, he played for Utah, was a graduate assistant, spent his whole coaching career with the Utes, and I guess he's supposed to be your successor whenever you decide to retire, I guess, I don't know. But can you explain what he means to the program and to you?
Yeah, well, he is the coach in waiting, the head coach in waiting, which, as I understand it, when it's time for me to hit the highway, he's the next guy in line, and that's contractually in place as of now. I've known Morgan for, 25 years, 30 years, recruited him to Utah, coached him as a player, hired him as a GA, hired him as a full-time coach, promoted him to defensive coordinator. I mean, me and Morgan have many of the same philosophies, many of the same teaching techniques, the fundamentals. We've always been on the same page from a recruitment standpoint, the personnel, the type of players we need at Utah. And I have no doubt that when his time comes to lead the program, he'll do a terrific job, and he'll be more than ready for it.
Time for one final question. We'll go center left, sixth row.
Kyle, Jake Hatch, Locked On Podcast Network. I wanted to ask you about your offensive line. You talked about you have Lomu as potential first-round picks. Are you willing to declare this offensive line the best in the country?
We hope it the best in the country. You know, that's a tough statement because I haven't studied the entire country as far as what people have coming back. But I can say with confidence we should be the best offensive line since I've been at the University of Utah, which has been forever. And so, we're going to lean on them heavily. And if they play like we think they're going to play, that's going to be a huge plus for our offense. But as far as weighing them nationally, you'd have to ask Phil Steele or someone like that what his thoughts are.